From North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Norgrove with your headlines for Friday, March 8th. 5 months of headlines emanating from the war in Gaza have spurred students on Chico's college campuses to learn more. NSPR's Jamie Jung has the story.
Around 50 to 60 students and professors are settling into a Chico State classroom. They've come to hear history professors Najmaldin Yousefi and Eran Zelnick lecture about the reasons for U.S. military support for Israel.
What does the U.S. get in return for its unconditional support of Israel?
This is the second open forum the Chico State History Club has held since the current war broke out. Members say students want to know more about what's led up to this moment. After the forum, a student organizer led a memorial for journalists killed in the war.
In honor of the 135 journalists who've been slaughtered as a result of the occupation.
Shahira Abbasi is the president of the new student group Swanasa Advocates, a political group for Southwest Asian, North African, and South Asian youth at Butte College and Chico State. It's a small community. Between the two campuses, there are around 10 members. Abbasi said in the past, she's felt like the perspective of Swanasa students have been left out in conversations about the Middle East. But now people are trying to learn.
I've been pretty pleasantly surprised. We have a lot of students who've like come up to us themselves asking about, you know, things.
On the other hand, some say this kind of political discourse can be harmful. Christy Collins is the executive director of Chico Hillel, a Jewish campus organization. She says conversations about the conflict are triggering for some Jewish students, and she points to a rise in anti-Semitism since 2021.
The Jewish community has intergenerational trauma around anti-Semitism. We are not seeking to have more conversations that are the terminology that is in the mainstream and trending.
She also wants to remind people not to conflate being Jewish with being pro-Israel. Still, the current war has increased young people's interest. Now, Chico State professors are hoping that draws them into courses on the topic next year. In Chico, I'm Jamie Jiang.
Scammers were able to steal nearly $900,000 from Pacific Gas and Electric customers last year. According to a press release from the utility company, the average customer targeted lost nearly $800. Scammers trick customers by calling them and claiming they're behind on their bill. They then threaten to shut off service if they don't make an immediate payment over the phone. PG&E spokesperson Paul Moreno says the company will never make such a demand.
PG&E will never ask for your financial information over the phone, nor will we ask for a payment via prepaid debit cards or money transfer services like Zelle. So if you receive a call like this, hang up.
He says scammers have become very sophisticated in the ways they use technology.
They've also been able to spoof our customer service number, so when people look at their caller ID, it looks like it's from PG&E.
Moreno says it's a problem nationwide. Virtually every household and business are utility customers, and that gives scammers the opportunity to defraud millions of people. And in other news, cyclists will perform at a stage race in downtown Chico this Sunday. The race is hosted by the Chico Corsa Cycling Club. Spectators are invited to watch as contestants race through the challenging course. Several streets will be closed to the public for the race. Closures include parts of Broadway, Wall, Main, Salem, Flume, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 6th, and 7th streets. The closures will begin Sunday morning at 5 until 9 that evening. The bicycle race starts around 8 that morning. Also in Butte County, residents are being asked to fill out a new survey on food waste. This comes as local governments look for ways to implement a state law that requires 75% of California's organic waste to be diverted from landfills by 2025. The survey was created by the Campfire Restoration Project and the Butte County Compost Coalition. It asks residents how much food waste they produce and what familiarity they have with composting. There are two surveys available for residents, one for individual households and one for businesses. Also, the federal government has announced $72 million would be spent on connecting tribal communities, including some in California, with reliable, renewable energy. Cap Radio's Manola Sakaita has more.
The Yurok tribe, whose reservation lands are located in and around Humboldt County, is one of the four tribes in California that received a part of this funding. Michael Girache is the director of the tribe's Planning and Community Development Department. Although the Yurok tribe has worked to connect its members with access to electricity for years, he says over half of those living in the tribe's upper reservation still have no access at all.
They're spending hours in the car to go get gas to power their fossil fuel generators. It's very expensive.
The tribe plans to use the federal funding to develop a small hydropowered system as well as solar power infrastructure that would connect unelectrified homes in the upper reservation with energy. Girache says it's a big step toward energy sovereignty.
If you have a local entity that's governed by the tribe, that's owned by the tribe, and that is staffed by tribal members, for instance, there's a culture of care around the maintenance of the infrastructure that's totally different.
The first round of federal funding will go toward connecting thousands of tribal homes to energy across the country. Another round of funding will be distributed to tribes later this year. Manola Sakaita, Cap Radio News.
Finally, union scientists in California may find themselves in an unexpected partnership following months of failed contract negotiations with the state. The California Association of Professional Scientists, or CAPS, is now seeking a partnership with the United Auto Workers Union. CAPS officials say the move would provide the union with more resources, political support, and power at the bargaining table. UAW also has a robust strike fund that would be made available to CAPS should the two unions affiliate. The partnership could also mean a more active role in bargaining and organizing for CAPS members. Currently, members of a bargaining committee or leadership team handle most day-to-day decisions. Voting opens for union members on March 18th at 8 in the morning and closes on March 21st at 11:30 at night. And those are your headlines for Friday, March 8th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Ava Norgrove.